This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, October 10th, 2021. The 19th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. I generally point out when something's missing from the lectionary because of this, that, or the other thing, I will, on the other side of the coin, equally show I'm pleased, like if anybody cares if I'm pleased about something or not. But when the Word of God in the lectionary does say something, I really appreciate the fact that the Word of God is presented as what it is, a weapon for us. So it doesn't say it's a two-edged sword. It said it's like a two-edged sword. It says it's more dangerous than a two-edged sword in so many words. It is effectual and more piercing than any two-edged. More piercing. Effectual. When we look at the Word of God, and this is the way we should approach it, what do we hear so much in our day? It's God's love letter to us. That sounds so hallmarky, so pretty. But guess what? Not one time in the Scriptures is the Word of God identified as His love letter to you. We hear a lot about it being the inspired Word of God that is inerrant, infallible, that is there for us for reproof, rebuke, correcting, training up people in righteousness. We hear that it's more sharp and dividing and piercing than any two-edged sword. We're going to get into this a little bit later, but this whole historical context, we kind of lose it when it's a sword thing. A two-edged sword was like the assault rifle of their day, which is not a term. That's a leftist thing. Technically, it is absolutely meaningless. There is no such thing as an assault rifle. I digress. You will see later why. When St. Paul communicates it, what he wants us and those Hebrews to whom he is writing, he wants us to understand how dangerous. I mean, it's really the danger. I mean, a two-edged sword, any knife. Most of us have been cut in the kitchen. You reach into the sink, you get nailed. Yeah, we know how dangerous they are. We know it hurts and all that. St. Paul is communicating that. But it's not just a matter of, hey, everybody knows the knife's sharp. That's what the Word of God is like. These people actually have a perspective on it that we don't. He's writing to Hebrew people. These people know, for instance, either they've seen it themselves or they heard the story, but what goes on at the temple? You bring sacrifices to the temple. A lot of people are under this impression, yeah, oh, you brought a sacrifice, you brought a bull or a goat, and they cut its throat and threw it up on the altar and burned it. That's not what happened to sacrifices. You brought a sacrifice, and it was divided. And the priest used a two-edged knife to divide it. And the best parts went to God. They were burnt on the altar. There were other parts that were better, but not as good as ones you gave God. They go to the priest, because the priest, that's what their job is, okay? They don't get a paycheck. They don't have lands and things like that. So they receive something from the temple. Other parts were given to the people. And there were other trash parts. There were parts of the sacrifice that you brought that, you know, it's like, ooh, the guts and all, to be graphic. These kind of things, they did just throw those out and burn them. They didn't have anything to do with it. So these Hebrew people have this mindset when St. Paul's talking about the Word of God is like this knife that the priests divide things. It divides good from not so good. It divides things that are good from things that are bad. This is why he goes on to the, you know, it divides soul from spirit. It divides joints from marrow. the soul and the spirit, you get into this big theological discourse on this. Well, does that mean that we're body, soul, and spirit, or is he talking synonymously? He's not talking about that at all. He's talking about the Word of God. And what he's talking about is soul and spirit are so integral, just like physically joints and marrow are, that the Word of God separates things that are what seem to us one. That the Word of God is so piercing, it is so separating, that it divides in the most minuscule ways, more extremely precisely, good, bad, not so good, better. That's what these people are hearing when they hear about the Word of God. So they got this Old Testament thing that's going on. And we kind of lose it for there. I mean, we even lose it when we start talking about swords and things like that. Yeah, because why? Technology. Who carries a sword anymore? I mean, ceremonially, yeah, you'll see them occasionally. But at the end of the day, who carries a sword? You know, the old adage, never bring a knife to a gunfight, that holds true. It's just a reality. We work in more of these technological terms. When we talk about weapons, we talk about firearms. You would not believe how precisely, how closely the principle of dealing with firearms is with the Word of God. Like Paul says, in our context, it would be, the scriptures are more dangerous than a gun. Because weapons in this world, they will hurt us here, they can kill us here, but at the end of the day, it's here. We need to understand that when you're talking about the Word of God, you're talking about eternal consequences. You're talking about a weapon, and that's what it is. That's where St. Paul's going with this. This is what it is. It is a weapon that God has given the church militant as its primary weapon in this world. Had an astute little girl pointed out, the rosary's a weapon too. Can only talk about so many things. But it's good that she knows that, okay? Because the Holy Spirit has given the church militant weapons to fight. I don't like this fighting stuff, but I don't like tough. It would be like a draftee in an army go, well, you can give me a gun, I'm not going to fight. Guess what's going to happen to you, guy, if you don't fight? Our confirmation, traditionally anyway, is presented to us. Even our baptism, traditionally, is presented to us as in the baptism, in the traditional rite, that this child may fight under Christ's banner until he be taken into the kingdom of heaven. Fighting, even the anointings at baptism, which one you don't see in the newer places, but traditionally there's an anointing, a cross placed on the back of the child that demonstrates the carrying of the cross, the burden that is being a member of the church militant. And then when we're confirmed, traditionally, a little slap on the cheek. What's that all about? Some people have never seen the traditional rite. What are you talking about? Yeah. Historically, for centuries, millennia, when a person's confirmed, slap on the cheek, this is a fight. You're entering a fight. You're a member of the church militant. As many bishops might want to, we don't use that term anymore. You may not, but God never stopped. Church militant, that's where we get terms like military, militia, things like that. That's who we are. We are to advance the kingdom of God in this world by, as the scriptures say, force, not the force of temporal arms. We've got something that's much more dangerous and much more efficacious, and that's the scriptures. This is what St. Paul's talking about. If you know the scriptures, then you know this whole thing about the church militant. You don't deny it. You don't try to color it up. What was it, a couple days ago? A cardinal trying to justify sacrilegious administration of communion. I'm not a policeman, I'm a shepherd. Well, if you ever cracked that book open, you would see that a cleric is a watchman on Zion's walls. You know what a watchman on a wall is? A policeman. Hey, you even want to go, I'm not a policeman, I'm a shepherd. What does a shepherd do? He maintains order in the flock and he makes sure no bad things come into the flock. That's what a shepherd is. So you're losing it there, sir. Evidence? You don't get it. Why? because you're one of the ones who looks at it and says, we don't believe that anymore. And I've heard that. I've heard that more than I like to share. We don't believe that anymore, what the scripture, to your detriment, to your soul's detriment. This is about eternal death. The gospel today. This young guy, he doesn't come to you. Hey, I heard you're a pretty good teacher. How do I get eternal? He got on his knees before our Lord. He got on his knees before our Lord. How do I inherit eternal life? What does our Lord respond? Commandments. How does this guy know the commandments? Now, I've done those all my life. How do you know the commandments? Scripture, the Word of God. That's how he knows it. It's incumbent on your eternal life for you to know the Scripture. I fulfilled these all my... Jesus takes it to the next level because he's the living Word. He takes it to the next level. He shows it, yeah, okay, you've been dotting I's and crossing T's, but do you understand why you're doing it? You know, because I perceive within you a priority problem. You've been doing all these things, but at the end of the day, how about this one? Sell all you have and follow me. And his countenance fell. Why? Because he was confronted with the living Word that his priorities were not what they... That's what the Scriptures are for us. Our Lord is he's in heaven making intercession for us right now, preparing a place for us. It is now our job in this world to do what he did in this world. And that's confront people with the Scriptures. This is what I'm always saying. You never say, I think, I believe, I say. You look at it and you say, Scripture says this. Because, I mean, the ignorance of people and the ignorance of how to use this weapon, the only weapon that we have to advance the kingdom of God, to defend ourselves, to judge. And that's what it's for. That's what a sword does. That's what any weapon does. It does those three things: offense, defense, and judgment, execution of judgment. We rely on the Scriptures to do that for us. And it is more piercing than any two-edged sword. It is much more dangerous than anything in this world because it has eternal consequences. We never want to lose sight of the fact of how important Scripture is. The Roman Catechism says, I quote, all the doctrines in which the faithful are to be instructed are contained in the Word of God. The Scriptures hold everything you need to know for your salvation. Everything you should know about your salvation is in Scripture. How can people approach it and not know the first thing about it? I wish to God that I could say the majority of Catholics, like 50.00001%, have read the Scriptures, could look me dead in the face and say, I have read the Bible cover to cover. It ain't near that. If this is God's word to us, if it is his revelation, it is nothing less than the expression of his power. Genesis, what if some of the tremendous things God has done? Genesis 1, it's pretty tremendous to create everything out of nothing. You know, ex nihilo, God did not, you know, there wasn't stuff floating around. And, you know, it would be a good thing if he could, like, bring it all together. Yeah, there's stuff floating around. I'm bringing order to it all. No, there was no stuff floating around. He made the stuff. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he create it? And God said, what happens when you say something? Words come out of your mouth. Let there be light. And there was light. God is that powerful. He says things and they happen. He has spoken to us in his word. It is efficacious. It is infallible. It is inerrant. And we need to use it. We need to know how to use it. This is another reason that Paul uses this whole weapon thing. Because whether you've been in the military or you haven't been in the military or played with guns or not played with guns, shouldn't use that term, use gun. This whole weapon thing, it resonates with everybody. Everybody knows that they're dangerous. As I said before, the principles that apply to guns apply to Scripture. Exactly. But more so to Scripture, because at the end of the day, the consequences there are eternal in the use or misuse of that weapon. I say this, maybe if you're visiting, it's like, what does he know about guns? He's a priest. Kind of embarrassing, but it's in God's providence. I know a whole lot more about small arms than I do about the faith. I've been a priest for 9 years. For 32 years, I was in the profession of arms. And it wasn't a matter of just carrying them and using them on occasion. I know how to fix them. I know how to build them. Okay, I can do all kinds of nifty things with them. You name it, I've owned it, much to the chagrin of at least one person I know in this parish. I have actually confessed how much money I spent on guns. I mean that literally. It was a thing. That was my life. 32 years. And a lot of people, I'm not an expert in this, but yeah, not braggadociously. That's what I did for over 3 decades. I'm an expert in small arms. Like I said, I'm not embarrassed. Not really embarrassed. It just shows I know more about that than I know about this stuff. Okay, that's how much I know about it. That's why this really resonates with me, because I do know about both of them now. And this whole associating the two is, in practical examples that I've experienced, it speaks to the gravity. It speaks to the import of associating the principles of firearms use and ownership with something that's more dangerous. It has much more deep consequences. Firearms principle one, you got to respect a firearm. This is kind of interesting. It's just from back in the day. While I was putting this together yesterday, I got a text from somebody from back in the day, and it was, hey, Doc, I want to get with you, go to the range and do some firearms training. Okay, maybe sometime, and I'm a little bit busy now. It's still there. I appreciate this guy that sent me that because he respects what he has. He respects the item that he has obtained and he wants to learn it. We need to respect. You need to respect Scripture. You respect it for what it is. It is the Word of God. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is there for you to rebuke, reprove, correct people, to train your family members over whom you have authority and righteousness. That's what it's there for. Because this is what gives you authority to tell people. You confront them with something. Who are you to tell me? I am not telling you. I am showing you where in God's Word it says this, that, or the other thing. That's what gives us authority to say anything. Because we appeal to God, not to ourselves. We need to respect it. You need to learn how to use it. It's like a firearm. Oh yeah, I bought it and they gave me five bullets and I went out and put one hole in the paper that was right in front of my face. You know, that's not learning how to use it. You don't know how to use it. You know nothing about it. That's not learning how to use anything. You need to use it a lot. You need to practice with it. Scripture, same exact thing. Same exact thing. You need to learn how to use it. What do you mean? Just reading the Bible. Really? Like Genesis, the first 5 chapters of that are a poem. The book of Psalms, they're a bunch of songs. The Gospels are historical narratives about Jesus' life and his earthly ministry. You got apocalyptic literature like Ezekiel, Daniel, Revelation, where you got some guy who sees a vision of heaven. He doesn't know how to explain it. He don't know what he's seeing. So you got to put it down in words. It's the best I can describe it. That's why when we read it, we go, what's he talking about? If you don't know that the Scripture is written in different genres, if you don't know that different things were said to different people at different times in history, if you don't know that, you don't get it. But it was Jesus says this, well, if you knew the Old Testament, you'd know exactly what he meant. That's what it's there. We need to know. We need to learn how to use this. You need to practice it. I read the Gospel of John when I was 12. Somebody asked me to read it. And then I started going to church and everything was fine. I haven't cracked it open since. That's not how it works. Just like firearms. The Scriptures are a perishable skill. Where's that in Scripture? Where's that in Scripture? If they even know. I mean, because I hear, you can imagine. I hear horror stories all the time. Yesterday, love this one. Where does it say in the Bible that you need to get married? Genesis, the Gospels, Ephesians 5. There's just some places right there. What happens when somebody comes up to you? Where does it say in the Bible to get married? Can you say that? How about you try to dazzle you with that? That's every single one of us should know God's word. When some ignorant person, and I don't mean that pejoratively, I mean it in its purest sense, somebody who doesn't know comes up to it and asks us, where does it say that? This is a reality. This is what we need to know. We need to know what God says. We need to practice it. That means you got to read it. Check this out. As difficult as it may be, all the time. All the time. And not just the parts you like. You got to get through Chronicles every night. You know, you got to go there. All right? This is just a reality. You need to know everything he says because that's how everything comes together. This last principle, firearms, scripture. You need to be willing to use it. You need to be willing to use it. It's like I said, a draftee, give him a rifle. Hey, you need to go fight. Well, I'm not using that rifle. Something really bad's going to happen to you, guy. You need to be willing to use that thing to protect yourself, to offend, to defend. We need to be willing to use it. There are a lot of people who own guns, who talk a good show. New SWAT guys, my gosh. I'll do this and I'll do that, I'll do that. Have you ever shot anybody? Well, no, but shut up. Shut up. You don't know. You don't know. And hopefully you'll never find out. But don't go there and say, I'll do this, I'll do that. Okay. I have, you know, this stuff isn't stories for me. I knew a guy when I worked for Brevard County. And there was an alarm call. Alarm calls are so throw down. You can stop and get a cup of coffee on the way to alarm call because they're that frequent. Alarm call at a high school, he gets there, smashed out front door, he goes in by himself, wrong, did it anyway, goes in there. There's a guy in there. Oh my gosh, this is real. Pulls his gun. You better stop. Gets in a fight, guy takes his gun, kills him. And then another good friend of mine who was on his way to help this guy, he like tried to call him on the radio, there's no answer. And he gets out, he's like, here's his car, where I don't see him. And the guy came out and shot him with the cop's gun. Why? And I'm not saying this to be pejorative to anybody's memory or anything like that. It's just reality. He pulled that gun out and he was not willing to shoot somebody with it. He had never been confronted with that situation. He'd been a cop for a long time too. He had never been confronted with that situation. How does that apply to scripture? Because Satan will use the scriptures as a weapon against you if you don't know it. The whole Adam and Eve thing. How did that start? If God really said, I know what he said, but did he really mean that? And maybe he wasn't really serious about that. You start playing around with the word of God in your head. Does the Bible really say you need to get married? I'll move in with somebody. Living in mortal sin. Souls in danger. Because I didn't know. I don't know of any place in Scripture where it says you have to get married. Satan will use the Scriptures as a weapon against us if we're not willing to use it. Try to play that nonsense with our Lord, who is the living Word. That really blew up in Satan's face. He looked at our Lord and said, hey, climb up on that tower, jump off, because the scriptures say that he's given his angels charge over you, keep you in all your ways, and you won't dash your foot against a stone. You know what? That's exactly what scripture says. That our Lord, the living word, looked at him and said, here, let's put this in a little bit of context. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. Because Jesus knew the scriptures better. If you know the scriptures, you're not going to fall into Satan's nonsense. You will know where things are in there. You will know when it says something or when it doesn't. But if you never read it, you don't know. Well, I never heard that in church. Guess what? You don't hear a lot of things in here. You need to take it upon yourself to use the tools that God has given you. Not priests and deacons. You. To learn your faith. You got to be willing to use it. The scriptures, as I said, they are for our offense. They are for advancing the kingdom of God. They are for defense. When somebody comes up and says, what about this? What about that? You need to go to God's word to be able to defend the faith. It is for judgment. I look at this whole nonsense. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Read on. Talking about judging unrighteously or arbitrarily or unilaterally. You get, how can you judge legitimately? Would you go, no, you're doing this, that's wrong because God prohibits it. This is where we find it. That gives you your authority. And if you're not willing to use it, if you don't learn it, it's really for nothing, and it's nobody's fault but yours. This is the reality that Paul's trying to communicate to us, using a very, very practical thing in this world to let us understand that this is, it's a weapon. It's more, again, it is more piercing than any two-edged sword. It's more dangerous than any gun. So I think we need to be using it in accord with the gravity that St. Paul is trying to communicate to us. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.